Friends, Jesus is risen. Alleluia. We are in a resurrection season, not just in the church, Eastertide, but we are also at the end of the Gospel of Mark at this point in our journey together this year. We are talking about resurrection. Alleluia. So I want you to hear these words from the book that we love. This is one of the endings of Mark's Gospel. Now, after Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons. She went out and told those who had been with him while they were mourning and weeping. But when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they would not believe it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. One of the things that we learn in all four Gospels is that the first people to witness the miracle of the resurrection were women. And that is not insignificant. That's why it's in all of our Gospels. It's not insignificant because women in the ancient world were not considered to be reliable witnesses. And if ever there was something that you wanted to get right, it was the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For some reason, God wanted it to be a voice that had been marginalized that would be the first one to tell of this good news. So in the ancient world, if you had been like a victim of a crime, for example, and the only person to witness it was a woman, you were out of luck because women weren't allowed to testify in court. Women were considered to be unreliable. Their voices were silenced and they were cast aside by the culture around them. So I think it means something for us that the first people to tell of the resurrection of Jesus were people who had been silenced. People whose testimonies didn't bear any weight. People whose witness weren't heard by the society at large. And this goes on today. So I've brought with me some of my friends, three seniors, Leo Herzog, Jess Breslin, Mark Donkersloot. They each led an immersion trip this year. And part of what they were doing on spring break was trying to listen to the voices that had been marginalized in our culture today and to hear the testimony that they are telling, because that is part of what we are taught to do as disciples. So I wanted to give all of us disciples an opportunity to hear that testimony this morning of just three of our 14 trips so that we could hear what might the Lord be saying to us that we really need to hear if we are to follow our resurrected Lord. So we're gonna start with Leo. So I asked each of you guys two questions. The first one was this: where did you go, and whose voice were you listening to, and how has that voice been marginalized?
I went to the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation, and I used to think that it was really common, well, it's actually really common knowledge for everyone to kind of think that that's something that happened to those people, and it's sad, and that's just the way things happened, and that's why they are today, and that's not the case at all. It's a really active problem that's still going on. As recent as 40 years ago, there were laws that we had in our country of freedom that prohibited them from practicing their religion or speaking their language, and that's something that almost nobody knows about today. And so we as a culture, we're trying to erase these people and forget about them, and it's really just a tragedy. We went to each person's home and we said, hey, we're going to take away your benefit checks if you don't give us your children. And we took those children out of their homes and we sent them to boarding schools where Holocaust-like tragedies were happening. And it's just crazy how little people, like, I didn't know about it and most of you don't know about it. And we kind of erase it because that's not what's in our history books. These people were cast aside in just in a really massive way.
Mm-hmm. So what testimony did the people living on that Indian reservation share with you guys that you think these disciples need to hear?
Sure. We learned so much about their culture when we were there for a week, and their vibrancy is hanging on by a thread. I think you all need to know that they're really warm and loving people, and that there's these Christian groups that have gone in for decades now and tried to fix them and tell them how to live, when really there's no respect for their culture as it was. We think that we know better than them, so we go in and we have good intentions as Christian groups, but we fall short because we say, hey, this is how you avoid poverty, and this is how you should live, this is what your home should look like. And that's just not the way that they are, you know, that they're wired. There's damage done in the name of Christ, and it was really sad. So it's our generation's job to love them, and to love them like generations past have failed, because that's really what they need. I mean, Jesus's greatest commandment was to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, but his second greatest commandment was to love your neighbor as yourself, and that's totally where we've been falling short. They don't really need to hear how we think they need to live, because they were happier then than we are today. During our week, we built outhouses for people who didn't have running water or sometimes electricity, and we built bunk beds for children who've never slept in beds before. But all I ask that you guys do is to take a minute and just try to learn about their culture, because they had so much and we took away so much. And so I guess, in short, I'd ask, you know, you guys to talk to somebody or to learn yourselves, because that's the way that we need to learn. Once we learn how to help them, then we can learn how to love them.
Amen. We gotta love with our brains and not just our hearts. Thanks, Leo. Jess, where did you go? And tell us about the voices you were hearing. How are those voices being marginalized right now?
Yeah. Well, I went on the Washington, D.C. trip, and we spent the week learning and interacting with those who have been involved in the incarceration system. So that is people that have been to prison or jail, people that work in the criminal justice system, and also people that are working to benefit those who are incarcerated. So fighting for sentencing reform and working with those who have mental health issues. And we really saw throughout the week, those that are being cast aside in this incarceration system, it's because we assume that they're really bad people. And we look at people in prison as the lowest of the lows. And the biggest assumption is that they're in prison because they're being punished and that they're receiving a fair sentence, which often is not the case. Rather, we have people that are being convicted for very minor, nonviolent drug offenses, and they're being given very extensive sentences. Often we can see this kind of activity on college campuses, and even at Hope we see this, but they are not giving the same sentences. A Hope student would not be given the same sentences as someone who is marginalized. So for an example of an outrageous sentence, if you are caught in some states with half a backpack full, you know, you're on your way to school, half a backpack full of marijuana, and you have intent of distributing that, that can be 5 years in prison. Or if you have half an ounce of crack cocaine and you have intent to distribute that in some states, that can be 10 years in prison, which is enough to really mess up your life. Mm-hmm. And what we learned is it all really comes down to one thing, and that's race, because it's these minority areas, these poor neighborhoods that are being targeted. And when we look at it, it really ends up kind of leading into this lifestyle, because you get this extremely long sentence, you lose most contact with your family, and then you're released and you're expected to be an active member of society, but you have something stamped on your record, and you're not gonna find housing, and you're not gonna find a job, you can't even vote. And so you go back to the streets because that's all you know, and it kind of leads into this cycle.
So these people, people with felonies, people of color who have been targeted by an unjust sentencing system, right? What did they say to your group that you feel like these disciples need to know?
Yeah, we really saw kind of a common theme throughout the week, and that is the idea that this is a lifestyle. You know, you're growing up and all the male figures that you're looking up to, they're locked up too, or they have a problem with drug addiction, or they can't find a job. And so the person you look at, the guy that seems the most successful, is the guy on the street corner that has fancy clothes and a nice car and lots of friends, because people are always visiting him, right? But he's a drug dealer. And when you walk to school every day, he makes it so easy for you to take that with you and for you to do the same thing that he's doing. You can be popular, you can make money. And that is kind of what starts off the system, and then you end up getting trapped in it. But what we really need to realize as followers of Christ, in Luke chapter 5, it says that Jesus did not come to call the righteous, but he came to call the sinner. I am no better than the person sitting in prison. Jesus loves us the same, and we both need the same forgiveness. And so if we're really living our lives as Jesus called us to live, if we want to be the hands and feet of Jesus, we need to be loving on these people the same way that he was.
And Mark, tell us about where you went on your trip and who you were hearing from and how they have been marginalized.
Our trip went down to Waimama, Florida, which is right outside of Tampa. And the main focus of our trip was the injustices within the migrant farm worker population. And we really jumped in this topic right away on our second day. We took part in the final 3 miles of a 200-mile march on Publix. And Publix is a supermarket chain down in Florida that has a monopoly on the market. And what we were asking Publix to do was sign on to an agreement, which would say they would pay one more penny per pound of tomatoes that they purchase, and that penny would be distributed to the people that harvest these tomatoes. Because in a lot of places in Florida, the tomato pickers, their wages have stayed stagnant for 30 years. And a typical day for them would look like this. They'll wake up at 4:30 so that they can be ready at 6 o'clock to be hired by a crew leader. Then they're gonna drive out to the fields and they're gonna wait for the crops to dry. They could wait for hours and they're not gonna be paid for this. Once the fruit finally dries, they're gonna go out into these fields that are only wide enough to walk between. And then they're not gonna pick up their flower pot, but they're gonna pick up their bucket. And they're gonna put it in between their legs and they're gonna start picking as fast as they can. And once this bucket is full, they're gonna run to a truck, dump it out, and do it over and over and over again in the 100, 110 degree Florida heat. And the reward for picking that 32 pound bucket is 50 cents. And if they're lucky in a 10 to 12 hour day, they might make $60. And then they're gonna go home to a trailer where their landlord is leasing it to between 12 and 16 people, and each of them are gonna have to pay at least a day's wages, if not more, to live there. And then they're gonna go to bed as early as they possibly can because they have to wake up the next morning as early as they did that day, and they can't stay home if they're sunburnt, if they're sick, they're injured, because if they don't work, then they don't eat, and they can't provide for their family. And that's some of the ways that we saw the injustices play out.
So these people, what did they want Hope College students to say as their testimony for these disciples who are here?
What they want us to know, I think, is the food that appears in our supermarkets, in Phelps Hall, on our dining room table, especially the fresh produce, it is picked by somebody. And if it's coming from within the United States, it's probably by a migrant worker. And a lot of times that person is being overworked, they're being underpaid, and a lot of times they're being treated more like a machine than they are as a human. And as a Christian, that should concern us, because one of God's greatest commandments for us is, as Leo said, to love our neighbors. And if we allow this to persist, I don't think we can say we're loving on this population.
I'm so grateful that we are telling these stories during the season of Easter. Because Jesus is risen, and this changes everything. It doesn't change the fact that people are unjustly incarcerated based on their race, or that people are getting paid 50 cents just like they were 30 years ago to fill up that bucket so we can have a tomato on our burger, right? It doesn't change the fact that we have Indian reservations all over this country that are like third world poverty. But what it does is it changes the church. It changes us as disciples. We are people of the good news. So luckily, somebody listened to the testimony of Mary Magdalene one day, heard her voice, even though they weren't supposed to take it seriously. And now we know that everything changed because that tomb was empty. We are people of Easter hope. I believe that God wants each one of us to contribute gifts toward his kingdom coming. I don't know what that looks like for you guys, but I think part of it looks like trying to love mercy and do justice as we walk humbly with our God. God can fix this stuff all by himself. For some reason, he wants us to help. What a gift and a mystery. Let's close in prayer. Loving God, we pray for migrant farm workers in Florida. We pray for people in prison. We pray for people living with felonies on their record who can't find work or places to live. We pray for Native Americans on reservations around this country. We pray for different injustices on each of our hearts. God, we cry out to you. Help us love mercy. Help us do justly. And help us walk humbly with you. In your name we pray. In Easter hope. Amen. Go in peace.